Bob, how do you get your material? Where does it all come from? Do you write it? Does it come from other places? How do you get it?
Well, I've written probably 95% of it, because that really is a aside from performing, that's really the enjoyment, the kick. You know, there's no better kick than to have a new routine and you're in the creative process and you're trying it out and each night you push it a little further, and then before you know it, you have a routine. And I'd have trouble if someone else wrote for me. It's just, I mean, I have in the past. People have written stuff, and some very good stuff. Norm Macdonald on Saturday Night Live wrote a thing that was very funny. But it's important to me to write it, because the good ones, like the first album, Abe Lincoln, which is especially appropriate today, was Spielberg's movie about Abe Lincoln. And the driving instructor and Sir Walter Raleigh, and they came full blown. It just was, it was like a pair of pants. It's like, how long do you want to make them? You want to make them 6 minutes? You want to make them 15 minutes? You know, the good ones just, they seem to, they arrive full born. As fast as you can put them down on a piece of paper.
So they just come out. It's kind of like an inspiration, or do you just see things, and then how do you get the idea? For instance, Abe Lincoln. Were you reading a history book? I mean, what happened? How did that happen?
The Abe Lincoln thing was, there was a book written by I still remember his name, Vance Packard, called The Hidden Persuaders, and it was about subliminal advertising and that kind of thing, and all the tools that the advertisers had, and it just struck me that, you know, if we didn't have a Lincoln at the time, that with these tools they have today, with focus groups and things like that, they could have created a Lincoln out of the advertising agency's imagination, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just kept writing. Writing it down, and there's a danger in it, because you're thinking to yourself, this is coming too fast. Did I hear this somewhere? Is this somebody else's routine that I heard a long time ago? and it turns out, well, I've also said, what all comedians do, at least all stand-ups do, is watch the audience, watch people, and they give us all the material we'll never need the rest of our lives, and then they pay us to see us do them, you know?
Yeah. Do you work off the audience, or do you just go in with something set, or is it always different? How do you prepare a show?
Well, it's semi-set, but then once you're into it, and I've been doing it for 52 years, so you learn a few things along the way. You get an idea. Okay. This is a Sir Walter Raleigh audience, or this is a Abe Lincoln audience, and so I always try to do one or two routines from the original album, you know, with what they call the classics, and then the rest is observational about what a strange planet we inhabit and how we have to laugh to make our way through it, and because it keeps getting stranger and stranger and stranger.
You know, the TV shows were really, you know, brought you, the albums brought you a really wide audience, but the TV show even took you further. And is there a moment from the TV shows that you would think is, you know, an outstanding moment that you can remember?
Well, it was such good writing. You know, we had such a great cast. We had in the first show, we had Susie and Tom Poston and Peter Bonners and Marcia and Bill Daly, and just a great cast and great writing. But there is one I remember. Emily took an IQ test, and she wanted me to take the IQ test. So I took the IQ test, and a couple of weeks passed, and I said, you know, honey, you never brought up the IQ test. And she said, well, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in him. I said, hey, honey, please. I said, what was my IQ? She said, yours was 129. I said, that's high, right? She said, that's almost gifted. I said, really? Wow, that's incredible. I said, what was yours? You know? And she said, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't put a lot of faith in it. No, I said, no, honey, don't be, you know, I went to med school. I was like I had 4 more years of college than you did, so, you know, don't feel bad. And she said, it's 152. So there was this long pause, and then a couple of days went by, and we were having breakfast, and Susie said to me, she said, you know, Bob, you've seemed very petulant the last couple of days. I said, what do you mean petulant? She said, well, petulant. I said, I know what petulant, you know, you don't have to talk down to me just because your IQ is higher than mine, you know. And she said, well, Bob, you know, you still had a higher IQ, and we have a perfect marriage. I said, no, we don't have a perfect marriage. A perfect marriage is where the husband's IQ is one point higher than the wife's, and the second best is where the wife and the husband have the same IQ, and the worst, which is our case, where the wife is 152 and the husband is 129, which is a difference and she says 21.
That is hilarious. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here just cracking up. So what makes you laugh?
You know what, over the years, Art, what has made me laugh was any good comic I ever watched. I used to watch The Ed Sullivan Show, and there was always going to be a comic on. And I had no idea I would ever wind up being a stand-up comedian. I loved watching comedians, and I watched them clinically. You know, I watched them. Why did he choose that word? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I see why he did that. Oh, I see how he did that. Yeah. You know, so while I was enjoying it, at the same time, I was analyzing it, even not knowing that one day I would be on the Ed Sullivan Show. I love to watch a really good comedian work. It's a joy. It's a joy for me. It's like one jazz musician watching another one. It's just, you just watch. There's no envy. There's no, you know, oh, geez, you know. It's just, geez, wow, he's good. He's really good.
You can really appreciate it. It's a real art form, you know.
It's hard. You know, it's funny. You watch the audience and they applaud, and you say, "Well, that was easy," you know. And then he'll do something that was really difficult, and there's no applause, which will say, "See, that was hard. What he just did," you know. So you appreciate it on a different level. Yeah.
Yeah. So stand up, TVs, movies. I mean, you've been some big movies. Of all the things, and albums, all of this stuff, what is your favorite?
Oh, favorite is stand-up. Without question. It's where I started. You get that immediate gratification from the audience. When you're doing a movie, especially, you're really locked in. And a TV show, even though we did it in front of an audience, at some point you have to lock it in. But when you're doing stand-up, you have freedom. You can just take it. I can just say, you know, I haven't done this for 20. I think I'll do this one. You know, and it's where I started. It's my first love, and I'm 83 now. I can't ever imagine, as long as I got my health, I can't ever imagine not doing it. It would be a big chunk of my life that I'd be giving up.
Yeah. Now you've been in Seattle here for, you're spending a couple of days hanging out in Seattle. Have you observed anything here, any new material coming out of your visit here before you do the show?
You know, I won't do that. I won't know that until I walk out on the stage. It all comes together. It's kind of scary, but something you notice and you didn't think twice about it, and all of a sudden you'll be talking about it. I mean, I have, there's several things. My daughter's up here, and her husband is in the medical prosthesis business with Zimmer, and there's going to be some doctor friends of his. I'll go in. I have a thing I do about doctors and how they pick their specialties, and your antenna is always out. You know, it's always observing. But you're not even aware of it until you're there on the stage and you just run with it. You just improvise and go somewhere.
So this is what we could see at the show. Improvised, fun stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any new CDs or anything that we should be aware of, DVDs or anything that we ought to be rushing out to buy?
Well, no, not really. We're doing a thing. I'm quite excited about it. You mentioned Don Rickles. Don and I, for the first time, and we've been talking about it for years. You know, we're very good friends. We travel together, and we have laughs. And we're doing something in Vegas for a convention. Don and I together on the stage for the first time. And just talking about our lives and trips we've taken and the fun we've had, and that's the end of May, and we're both looking forward to we thought about the Odd Couple, and we thought about the Sunshine Boys doing something together, and this finally came along,
You know, that's something. I wonder if that really gels. Would you take that on the road, or and take that out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it would be. We'd have to listen to it and say, that worked. That didn't. Maybe we ought to change that. He and I would love to travel together. Our wives are great friends, and people always say that, they can't figure out, we're so much polar opposites, but we have a great time together. We it's been going on for 40 years. It's kind of like George Burns and Jack Benny,
Yeah.
They were so, they were such great friends, and that's the case with Don and I.
Well, that's really neat. It would be really fun to see both of you together. That'd be for sure. I'm almost afraid to go see a Don Rickles show, to be honest with you. I know he would single me out. I know he'd do that. So can you give us just to wrap things up here, just an invite to come out and see the show? Just maybe, hey, everybody, come out and see me kind of thing?
Well, I don't. I think, I read something. It just occurred to me. I read something some time ago. The Day of the Lord, Nathaniel West, the author, and he wrote this thing. I just happened to stumble upon it, and he said, look, the universe is against us. So the only intelligent response is to laugh. And that's the way I feel about life. That you got to have a sense of humor. You have to laugh, otherwise it will depress you so much. That crazy world out there. If people want to laugh, be my guest.
All right, Mr. Newhart, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.